This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fihi mubarakan alayhi kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda jalla jalaluhu amma nawalu was salatu was salamu ala sayyidil habib al mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. In the last session we had started chapter 8 on meditation, looking around the world at creation to get to the Creator. So today is the last one in that series, which also incidentally happens to be the last aphorism that Ibn Ata'illah placed in his collection. What we're doing is we're looking at it chapterized, where somebody has, Shaykh Ali al-Muttaqi has put all of the wisdoms together in there according to their theme. But the way the author had originally compiled them was different. They seem to be random, though there is obviously a kind of a chain and an explanation in between them and a connection. So this one happens to be his last one, right? But we're still on the chapter 8 in our tartib. So this is what he says. It's about meditation. He says, al-fikratu fikratan. Al-fikratu fikratan. Fikratu tasdiqin wa imanin. Wa fikratu shuhudin wa iyanin. Fal-ula li-arbab al-i'tibar. Wa-thaniya li-arbab al-shuhud wal-istibsar. Now, the first part of this is easy. The second part is easy as well, but it's more based on proper experience, so it's difficult to explain that, but inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to understand and then inshallah experience as well to a certain degree. So what does that mean? He says meditation is of two kinds. Last time he was explaining that meditation is the lamp of the heart. If it goes away, the heart has no illumination. It's the only way to illuminate the heart. So now he's saying there are two types of meditations that you can do. One of them is the meditation of belief and faith. Doesn't really explain much. The meditation of belief and faith. And the second is the meditation of contemplation and vision. It'll get clearer. The first is for the adepts of reflective thoughts. That doesn't make too much sense. The first one are for those who have an ability to do good reflective thought. And the second one is for those who are adepts of contemplation and intellectual vision, which basically means that those people who've got the vision, who can see beyond what's apparent. So the second one is a deeper one. The first one is a more apparent one. To put it simply, there are two types of meditations. One is the easier one, which is the external kind of one, where you look with your eyes and you see things, and you go from there to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second meditation is completely different. I'll wait for his explanation, but it's more of a deeper vision. And we'll go through, there are two explanations of the second one. The first one is from Ibn Ajiba, which I'll cover first, and then we'll see what Shaykh Abdullah Gangohi is saying. So that's just to, you know. So the first part of this now is, remember he said that this fikr and contemplation or meditation, this kind of reflective process, looking into things and seeing where everything comes from. Not to see who the manufacturer is, but to see who the real manufacturer is. Not what the brand is, but who the real creator is. Right. So don't stop at the fact that, okay, this is made by Logitech, but go beyond that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. So that's what he says, that the people who have belief, who are convinced about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who confirm Allah, believers, Muslimin, right? And people who have iman, their hearts are going to be still focused. They can't get beyond the creation. They're just going to see creation everywhere. So their job is to look at creation, look at this mic, look how good it works, and look at the jacket, look at the carpet, look at the masjid, look at the decoration, and then go from there to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's saying that a sayrul qalbi fi mayadin al aghyar is for the heart to be traversing and going around and reflecting over all of this creation. Not for the sake of appreciating the creation for ourselves and becoming obsessed by it, but to understand. فَهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي الْمَصْنُوعَاتِ. So their job is to just reflect over whatever is made and created. لِيَتَوَصَّلُوا إِلَىٰ مَعْرِفَةِ الصَّانِعِ. So they can go from there to the Maker. وَقُدْرَتِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ وَحَيَاتِهِ. And from that they can figure out that he must be very powerful. He must be very knowledgeable. He must be the ever-living one. And all the other attributes that you can figure out from there. And regarding these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 3, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Because they can't see Allah. They can't even feel Allah in that sense. But they're looking at everything and saying, all of this can't be created in vain. Look at the beauty of that thing. Allah must have, the Maker must have beauty. Look how majestic that is. The creator of it must be majestic. Right? Look how sophisticated that is. The creator must be sophisticated. Now, I know that sounds like quite a bit of a effort to do that. But when a person gets used to this and focused on Allah, it becomes kind of second nature that we're always going to be, where's Allah in this? Where is Allah? Where is Allah? How can I find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So initially it is difficult, obviously, to have to think about everything that way. Right? So that means, you know, we're not very far. You know, we are very far rather. These are the people, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, they believe in the unseen. Nobody ever gets to see Allah in this world anyway. But it's just that they believe in the unseen in that sense. Then the second one is for the people who are already witnessing and who have a vigilance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who, for whom the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah are more a reality. So this is really interesting. They're so much more a reality that when they see things around them, those things don't matter. Their first thought goes to Allah. The people in the first category, their thought goes to productions first, creation first, and then it hopefully goes to Allah. The second are already linked to Allah, so they're always thinking of Him and everything else will just be an effect of His. So it's the other way around. That's essentially what he's going to say. He said, those people who are witnessing, the people of witnesses, their ruh, it's not their eyes anymore. It's their ruh, their soul. That's traversing around, going around, fi mayadin al-anwar, in the lights. They're just seeing everything as a light from Allah. So they're just seeing Allah's lights. قَدْ إِنْقَذَبَتِ الْأَغْيَارُ فِي حَقِّهِمْ أَنْوَارًا. All of this creation are all lights from Allah for them. They're just a completely different way of looking at something. That's a different light, that's a different light, that's a different light. It's just all... And when you see light, you usually think about where the light is coming from. And Surah Yunus, verse 101, is where Allah says, قُلْ انظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Their situation is different. Allah tells them, look, what is in the heavens and the earth? Right? It's not like, look here to find out Allah. It's like, this is the effect of Allah. So then he explains the two. He says that the first type of reflection and meditation is the one where you're convincing yourself, I am a believer. I believe Allah is behind everything. So then you're looking for Allah behind everything. It's more based on that elementary level. These are the people of istidlal. They're always looking for proof for Allah in everything. Right? They don't have the proof already. They're always looking for everything and making everything into a proof. يَسْتَدِلُّونَ بِالسُّنْعَةِ عَلَى الصَّانِعِ. So, they are trying to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and figure out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attention. If Allah allows them to do so and removes the veils, they'll see it. Meaning, they'll get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says the second ones are the people who already have that witness. They have already ascended beyond the evidences that he see around us to the Maker already. They already have complete presence of him. They always feel him. They always see him. They don't see Allah physically because we don't reduce Allah to any kind of physical entity, right? But it's they're completely convinced of their witnessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're not going to look at the effects of things. They don't care about the effects. We're all effects. They're looking at the one who's the effector. They are going from the creation to the lights. They're going from being separate to being close. Right? They're going from the outer creation to the inner creation. What they're just seeing is that just various different anwar and light that are just shining in the different places of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So essentially they're just submerged. They are, you can say they're just submerged. They are completely engrossed in that. In fact, to such a degree that they only use things because they have to. They don't care for them. You know when it says that gold and dust will become the same for certain people? It doesn't make sense. How does gold and dust become the same for someone? It's not like you're going to throw it away. It just means that I got it, alhamdulillah. I got some dust as well. It's the same thing. I'm going to use it. I need it. But that's it. Because their focus is on the creator of both of them. And the creator of dust and the creator of gold is the same. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're just getting to the origin. It doesn't make a difference now. That's how it becomes the same. Otherwise, we wonder, how does it become the same? So that's what is being explained here. That they're just being completely just showered with these lights from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just all light from Allah. They're just enjoying that so much that none of this matters because is of who it's coming from. So these people, is that if they did, eventually when they do have this feeling of presence with creation, and when they see creation as creation, sometimes when they come out of that state, and they see creation as creation, then they still see it as only standing because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that it's coming from Allah. And it's only there to take them to Allah. So it's still Allah. It's like that's made by Allah. It's inspired by Allah. It can only subsist because of Allah. And it's there to take us back to Allah. Now can you imagine how great their status must be according to Allah? That they've recognized Him finally. And that's what Allah created us for, and they've got it. That's why one of the poets said, "Humur rijalu wa ghabnun an yuqal liman lam yattasif bi ma'ani wasfihim rajulun." These are the real men. These are the real men. And it's a completely profitless, lossless, deceptive idea to say to anybody who doesn't have their characteristics that they are men. The true men are these people. The true insan is this person. Not anybody else. It's completely, you've lost your profit if you think somebody else is like that. Meaning it's a loss maker if you think that. You're deceived. It's deceptive. So this is now the way, that was how Ibn Ajiba had explained it. Now, the way Shaykh Abdullah Gangohi explains it is slightly different. The first one is the same. He said the select servants of Allah are of two kinds. The traveler to Allah, the sadiq, and the majzoob. So he brings in the concept of majzoob here. Majzoob we translate as the ecstatic. Majzoob is somebody, just to give you a brief understanding of what we're talking about. Majzoob is somebody who seems to be out of his senses. People will call them crazy. I've come across a few in my life. They don't talk to you or act in a normal manner. But not because they're crazy due to a mental health problem. They're so focused on Allah's attributes and Allah's actions and so on that they're oblivious of the dunya, like they've gone beyond this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're so focused on that, that the dunya doesn't, so they do crazy things sometimes. Because these things aren't in their awareness range, in their scope. So that's why I've been told, I was in Hajj with a friend of mine who's from Singapore, and there was somebody who was acting a bit crazy. He said, be careful. He might be a wali of Allah, a majzoob. And if you mess around with them and they make a little dua and that's it, because they are wali of Allah. So be careful of anybody who's pious and weird. Like who's pious but does strange things. They might be a majzoob. It's not a state that we want to acquire. It's not a state that anybody wants to acquire. The ulama say that's not a state that you want to be in. You want to be in your senses. But some people just get lost in the process. Some people get lost in the process and Allah just puts somebody in that state. Of course, Allah puts everybody in that state. But it's not a state to aspire to. Because we're human beings and we need to work in this world. But these are ma'dhur, they're excused individuals. I remember when we got to Kaulak in Senegal, there was a guy sitting outside one of the houses. And our host told us that this guy is a very, very, very pious guy, but he won't speak sense with you. Like, you'd call him crazy. But the guy's done so much dhikr and so on that he's just lost his senses almost, in that sense. That's just a category of people. Anyway, the one who logically deduces the cause. So some of us, I mean, the first group are the people who logically look at things. Oh, it must be created by Allah, that kind of an idea. So the one who logically deduces the cause from the effect is the first category of the traveler. He meditates on the effects of Allah and arrives at the knowledge of the cause. Who was the cause of all of these effects? Is Allah. His heart initially wanders in the objects of creation. His heart is wandering around. From these meditation, he reaches the way to the divine attributes. This is splendid, Allah must be splendid. This is beautiful, Allah must be beautiful. This is great, Allah must be great. That's the way they get to Allah. For example, he sees people, this is really good by the way. For example, he sees people transgressing without Allah Most High punishing them. Like people are sinning and Allah isn't punishing them. They're killing others and they seem to have the whole world on their side. They seem to have all of the wealth on their side. Right? They're supporting evil and they seem to be very prominent. And from this, he appreciates Allah's attribute of patience. Look at this, like, how Haleem is Allah. How patient is Allah. How clement is Allah. Even that reminds him of Allah. And rather than complain about it, what is Allah doing? Like, Allah is so patient. He is so patient that he refrains from punishing despite having the power to finish him straight away. And no better example than with the Prophet ﷺ when those people of Ta'if literally beat him up. Na'udhu billah. And could have had them finished. But the Prophet ﷺ himself showed his own hilm. Allah's hilm must be even greater. But the Prophet ﷺ said, no, leave them. Don't punish them. Their children will become, their grandchildren, their descendants. Moreover, from the beauty of objects, excellence and perfection of objects, he infers that Allah is all wise and beautiful and excellent and perfect. By means of prolonged meditation on the names and attributes of Allah, the heart finally discovers the way leading to Allah Himself. No better way to get to Allah than through reading the Quran and contemplating it, and reading the names of Allah, the 99 names, and contemplating them. Thus, by meditating on the effects, he ultimately reaches the cause, who is Allah Most High. On the other hand, the one who acknowledges effects after meditating on the cause, this is the one, he explains this as the one who does it the other way around. Meaning, this is the person who focuses on Allah and then figures out everything is from Allah. So he's coming the other way around. Initially, and remember, both of these are a journey. until you actually get to whichever side it is. Then you become complete. These are journeys. So then he says, initially his heart becomes imbued with the spiritual perception, figuratively speaking, of the being of Allah. He then dwells in the names and attributes of Allah. Finally, he enters into the meditation on creation. So after focusing on all the names of Allah, then he figures out, oh, okay, this is the effect of that name, and this is the effect of that. He's coming the other way around. Thus, the first one, the traveler, is taken from the bottom to the top, creation to God. And the second one, so to speak, the ecstatic, is brought down from the top to the bottom. Only Allah can do that. However, this is the state of those whose perfection Allah Most High desires. Allah will give that to only certain people, since some of these attracted ones remain in the state of attraction. Meaning, some of them stay on that journey and never come out of it. So that's why they're just so focused on Allah that they're off the world. That's the majzu I'm talking about. They never get out. Some people do it and then they come out and mashallah, you know. But others, they stay within that. Allah keeps them there. While some travelers remain suspended without attaining accomplishment. Some people don't get from point A to B and the other way around as well. The Shaykh rahimahullah is saying that there are two kinds of meditation. The first form is known as belief and faith. Essentially, that's our belief and faith. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Right? While the second one is called contemplation and vision. In the first kind of meditation, the travelers reach the knowledge of Allah by their meditative study of His created objects. They utilize their physical senses in the observation of creation to conclude the greatness of the Creator. They use their senses to do that. The aim of this meditation is the spiritual perception of the pure being of Allah Most High. It's a spiritual perception that you get. Its motivating force is not only belief, because progression is not in this instance essential from the Creator to the creation, but in this case, the progression, so to speak, is from the creation to the Creator. Right? Thus, the gaze of the traveler's heart in this state is more focused, concentrated on creation, then ultimately moves on to the Creator. Point A to B. On the other hand, the knowledge possessed by the second person, the ecstatic, dictates to him the reality of existence of creation. This is this, this is that, this is this. Because he's starting from Allah and His attributes. So for example, let's just say that you don't know about a certain company or a designer. There's a certain artist. You've never heard of him. But you're seeing all of these really beautiful objects. That's really nice. You noticed it. You might have ignored it. You noticed that one. And then you go back and you look at them again. You're like, oh, all of these are created by this one artist. Wow, look at that. Right? You never knew about the artist. You saw his work and you got to the artist. The other one is, somebody, you never looked at any artwork or any products or anything, but you were told about this really amazing innovator, inventor. You read an article on him. And when you read the article, you said, oh, he's made and he's designed this product and that product and that product. Then you go out to look at those products and you find them and you appreciate them. So you've started the other way around. Now, this is a very weak example to understand the two ways that this is happening. For us, we're already in the products. So it's just usually that's the way most people will go, from the creation to the Creator. So he says that the focus of his heart, meaning the second person, is initially on the Creator. Later, reaching creation. For this reason, the traveler, the first one, is one whose sense and intellect are intact, because you're going to need that to be able to reflect from creation to Creator. Whereas the second one, generally, his behavior and senses and intellect are in conflict with customary intelligence. They seem weird. They seem different. I remember once I said somebody's weird, and a friend of mine says, you're weird as well. So I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, everybody's weird in some way. Right? Everybody's different in some way, right? So you want to call somebody weird, you're just probably more weird than thing. Some people really focus on differences and they make a big deal and they point it out. It's just a useless exercise. You don't get anything out of it. You're just negative. You're just being negative of people. It should be understood that the knowledge derived from both of these meditation is inspired ultimately. While it seems like the first one you're acquiring yourself, but Allah has to inspire you and open the veils, otherwise you won't get anywhere. You'll keep looking at creation, just appreciate them. You won't get to the Creator. It is a bestowal from Allah Most High. So you see, there was that slight difference in that explanation in the two. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach Him. Next chapter, it's on abstinence. Right? And what exactly that means is a beautiful aphorism, but we'll do that inshallah next time. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya al-jalali wa al-ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hanan ya mannan la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'afina wahdina warzuqna. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات يا الله have mercy on us يا الله have mercy on this ummah يا الله have mercy on this ummah يا الله have mercy on this ummah يا الله bless our brothers and sisters protect our brothers and sisters deliver our brothers and sisters يا الله Oh Allah, remove their problems. Oh Allah, remove their aggression. Oh Allah, remove the oppression. Oh Allah, grant them their freedom, their dignity, their respect. Oh Allah, grant them much better than what they have lost. Oh Allah, protect the world from chaos, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us from chaos. Protect them from chaos. Protect the world from chaos. Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive us. Oh Allah, we ask that you prolong the lights of Ramadan for us, the anwar of Ramadan, the blessings of Ramadan. The forgiveness of Ramadan, the beauty of Ramadan. O Allah, prolong it for us. O Allah, do not allow us to lose it completely, Ya Allah. O Allah, keep us elevated. O Allah, keep us heightened. O Allah, keep us focused. O Allah, the shaitan is back out. We are tired of fighting against the shaitan. O Allah, do away with him for us. O Allah, protect us. Put us in your protection. O Allah, protect us. And O Allah, we make firm decisions, O Allah, we make resolve in the morning and by the evening we lose it. O Allah, sometimes we make pious intentions in the evening, but by the morning we have destroyed it. O Allah, we ask that you grant us full and firm resolve. O Allah, that you grant us a taste and experience of what we study here and what we read. And O Allah, of your, grant us your awareness, grant us your understanding, grant us your presence, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow us to go from all of these signs to you, Ya Allah. O Allah, remove your veils so that we can experience. And O Allah, we can gain vigilance and meditation. O Allah, make us of these travelers. O Allah, make us of these salikeen. O Allah, make us of those who are close to you. O Allah, remove the distance, Ya Allah. O Allah, make it easy. O Allah, make all of the efforts that we do in this world, make them easy. Grant us sincerity and ikhlas. O Allah, grant us acceptance for whatever we have done. Allow us to do a lot more, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us and protect us and our families, our children and our descendants until the Day of Judgment from all of the fitnas which are out there. O Allah, our dear friend and brother, Muhammad Mushtaq, O Allah, who leads prayers in this masjid as well. O Allah, he's just had a child. And O Allah, his child and his wife are going through many difficulties. O Allah, many challenges. O Allah, remove those difficulties and challenges. Grant his child and his wife the cure. O Allah, grant him happiness and joy. O Allah, from his child that he has just had. O Allah, make his child from the strong atqiya, sulaha, awliya. And O Allah, all those others who have had children, who have children. O Allah, protect their children from all forms of challenges and problems and illnesses and sicknesses. Do not let us see a bad day with them, Ya Allah. Keep the deen and keep the tawfiq and good health within them, Ya Allah. And O Allah, allow them to be a source of sadaqah jariyah for us. Allow us to do tarbiyah correctly and properly. And O Allah, bless all of those who assist in the masjid and who organize the programs. O Allah, keep us all aright. And O Allah, all our other programs that we have, our other projects that we have, O Allah, allow them to be completed quickly and remove the difficulties and the obstacles in their path and protect us from all those who seek to harm us. O Allah, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The point of a lecture
is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.